Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awaken you under the apple tree. There your mother brought you forth. There she bore you, brought you forth. Who is this coming up from the wilderness? There is a trait of the bride. That is, she leans tightly upon her beloved. She truly leans upon the beloved. We could judge a Christian's character by seeing if they truly learned how to lean upon their beloved. And you could tell the person's relationship with the Lord by seeing if the person knows how to depend on God. Let's look at Galatians 3, verse 3 and verse 4. Are you so foolish, having begun in spirit, you are now being made perfect by flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? It says that you've begun in the spirit, but now are you trying to be perfected by the flesh? You've already received this new life through the spirit, but are you trying to complete the race by the flesh? And have you suffered so many things in vain? And I begin to see many Christians the same way, that many Christians started out by the Spirit, but they have not learned to depend on the Spirit. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 25. Let's read this together, okay? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It says that if we live by the Spirit, then we should walk and live by the Spirit. Many people were born by the Spirit, but they walk by their own flesh, by their own strength, their own wisdom. They've not learned to depend on the Spirit. And especially for people who are extremely smart and talented, like in the Bay Area, we can rarely see people that truly live by the Spirit. And that's why many Christians are weak. They were born again, for sure, but they not learned to continue on by the power of the Spirit. And so they experienced many anxieties, many fears. They have not lived out a different life from the worldly people. Now let's define what is living in the Spirit. Let's go to Proverbs 22. And I believe that many of us want to live that by the Spirit, but we just don't know how. So let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 17 to verse 19. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. And it says that we need to apply our hearts to the knowledge. How do we depend on the Lord? By inclining your ear and hear the words of God. Accept the words of God. Then apply your heart to the knowledge, to receive that knowledge. And also, if you hide these knowledge inside of your heart and your mouth is proclaiming these words, then this is called depending on God. There is a great example of the Old Testament. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Numbers 14, verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor feed the people of the land, for they are only bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." In verse 8, it says that land is flows with milk and honey. They remember the words of God. They remember the promises of God. And when they actually check out the land, they found just as God has told them in the first place. And so in their hearts, they continue to meditate on that promise. That promise is that God is bringing them into a land flows with milk and honey. And so they commanded the people, saying, "Let's go and pass through that land. Let's go and possess the land. We can gain that land victoriously." And this is what the proverb says about inclining your ear and hiding the knowledge of God. You know, even though you have this knowledge, but you still experience fear, You know, it's true that it's a land of milk and honey, but when you see the enemies, then you realize they are giants and we are but locusts. How can we be victorious against such great people? I'm very sure all of us will feel fear at that moment. And so that's why our mouth has to proclaim the promise of God, saying, let's go. We can possess the land. God will truly lead us forth. So you have to continue to proclaim the word of God to overcome the sense of fear. You can control your mouth. This is called depending on the Lord. This is called trusting the Lord. And let's look at the other spies. Let's look at their situations. Go to Numbers 13, 32, starting in 32. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they have spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. All the other spies gave a different report. Is it true that the enemies are like mighty people, like giants? Is that true? Yes, that is the fact. They're not lying. They're not exaggerating. The Anakites, they're like giants, they're big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. It's a land that would devour us. And then we see that same tribe of Israel, they could give two different reports because Joshua and Caleb held on to the promise of God, held on to the words of God. That's all they remembered, is the promise of God. But the rest of the spies, they weren't remembering, meditating on the word of God, but they were meditating on the facts that's before them. They are like giants. The enemies are devouring us, are about to devour us. And so their proclamation also describes the great challenge before them. So we understand that many people, we could see that many Christians are like that as well. A challenge is to see what we are remembering, what we are meditating. And many times in a marriage, when we face trouble, trials, we quickly say, oh, it's done. Oh, it's difficult. Or you face some challenge at work, or you're looking for a job, and then you said, oh, I am hopeless. Oh, this sickness is too great. Many people, all they remember, all they're meditating are facts. Facts is truth, true, but God's words are different. God's report is different. The Bible says, by his stripes, you are healed. Many people don't have that salvation, that promise in their minds. And all they see is, oh, I'm facing great danger. It's going to be worse and worse. No one's going to be healed. And then they continue to agree with their words and say, oh, we're so helpless. This is so difficult. Everything is so challenging. Many people's condition are like this. They don't know how to trust God. They don't know how to depend on the Lord. Caleb and Joshua, they gave a different report. It sounded a little bit arrogant and also impractical. And the whole congregation heard their words, and they say what? They said what? They said, oh, let's stone them to death. Let's kill them. Why? Because their advice, their report is unrealistic. And so let's kill them. They rather trust in the facts that we are but grasshoppers before our enemies. And you begin to understand that the spies that gave the bad reports may sound more realistic, more practical than Caleb and Joshua. And it's like grasshoppers standing before giants and saying, I can defeat you. How can that be realistic? How can that be possible? And proclaiming victory before giants, how is that going to happen? Then we see at the end, what would happen at the end of these two groups of people? Only Joshua and Caleb are qualified to enter the land of God. The people who described the facts, they died in the wilderness. Dear beloved, what does it mean to lean upon the Lord, depend upon the Lord? I challenge you to not always repeat in your mind of the reports of doctor or the reports of scientists, of what people say the situation is like. But do you have the promises and the words of God inside of you? Because the outcome will be completely different. And we want to examine to see, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the word of God? Or are we focusing on the cross, on what the Spirit is doing, what the promises of God? And it's nothing is impossible for God. God's arm is not shortened. Through him who gives me strength, I can do all things. Are you continually reciting these Bible verses? Through him who gives me strength, I can do all things. Do you truly believe that? Or else that land of milk and honey will never be yours. I've seen too many Christians that will not agree to the report of God, because God only said that land is of the land flows with milk and honey, but God didn't say the land is filled with giants. And many people believe at the beginning, and then as they proceed, they saw the giants, they saw the challenges, and they turn their back. Just like many couples, they get married by the will of God, and then when they face some challenge, they realize they're completely different personalities. And even though they have so many promises from God, but they turn their backs. And the same way with people who've received the words to work at a certain company. And when they face challenges, they quickly find a different job. Many people, they pray a couple days, and when the Lord didn't speak or their sickness was not healed, and they quickly find a solution. They find the man's path, a way out. And so their God will never be able to display his power. He's not the Almighty. He's only the pastor's God, the preacher's God. It's not their God. God wants to be the Almighty in your life. Derek, our brother, told us last week, and the Lord spoke to him that many, many Christians hold me within their hearts like a prison. And the only time they let God out is Sunday morning. In the worship service, they worship and say, "Hi, Jesus, how are you?" And then the rest of the days, they just lock Jesus in within like a prison. They never allow God to display his power, and you're just depending on you. Because if you wait on the Lord, it'll take too long. But let me tell you, when you lean upon God, it may seem very dangerous for the situation you're going through. And it may seem that it's very urgent. You have to quickly find a solution at the moment. And so our instant reflect is that I'm going to use my strength to solve this problem. And then you would think, God won't come through. God can't help me. And so why don't I just fix this problem right now? Let me give you an example. One time in Taiwan, I was living on the 10th floor with some brothers and sisters. And then they were doing a remodeling work for the kitchen. And so the doors open for the workers to come. But in Taiwan, there's a lot of mosquitoes that's coming into our apartment. So that Saturday night, I'm reading the word, but the mosquitoes started to come in to attack me. And I thought, oh no, I'm done today. Mosquitoes love my blood, and I'm very fearful of mosquitoes. And if I sleep during the night and I can hear the sound of mosquitoes flying, it will really disturb my sleep. And then I remember the next morning I have prayer meetings and a Sunday service. And my natural inclination is to kill the mosquitoes ASAP. Whenever I hear them, I'll wake up in the night and then I'll kill all the mosquitoes. But that night I thought, oh, I have no time. I need to prepare for the worship. I need to prepare for the sermon. So all I could do is I depend on the Lord. I kneel before God and I say, God, tomorrow I have a full schedule. You need to give me a deep sleep for the night. Your blood covers me, and then your fire will surround me, that you will deliver me from the mosquitoes. Give me a good night rest. So I enter into the presence of God and I pray to the Lord. Then I went to sleep. And the whole night I experienced this deep, sweet sleep. And when I wake up in the morning, even though the mosquitoes are there, but I've not been bothered by the mosquitoes, I realized the mosquitoes were still there, but they did not bite me at all. I was so surprised and I was so touched by God's love. And I knelt before the Lord, and then God gave me this this word inside. And it says that the righteous will live by faith. And that phrase began to explain inside of me by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be made righteous by faith? It means that every day through faith, we will possess this unshakable eternal life. And I was filled with great joy. And when God gave me that word, I realized something. And there are many, many, many things, little things that I depend on my own flesh. I use my own strength, even as little as killing mosquitoes. I didn't know that God can solve this because it seems impossible in my culture, impossible in my mind. You know, even at times I will use pesticides or different methods to kill mosquitoes. And that night was so significant of numerous of mosquitoes in the room. Because when I turn on the lights, I could see so many mosquitoes flying. But since that day, I've experienced that miracle. And because of the renovation continued on, and then I prayed to the Lord every night. And then the Lord let me experience this series of miracles that I was able to sleep a sound without being distracted, attacked by the mosquitoes. Then I realized that fear was gone. That fear of being attacked by mosquitoes was gone. And it wasn't just one or two days, but it's since then. For many, many years, whenever I face mosquitoes, I will pray this prayer. You know, I thought, what would the Lord do? Mosquitoes are so small, I could solve this problem by myself. Christians are like this as well. We have not learned to lean upon the Lord. We always think it's impossible. How could God listen to these small prayers? The more science we study, the more of the intellectuals we have, the less of that pure faith we will have. However, when a person grows in hunger, grows in dependency on the Lord, and many people question me saying, how could you just pursue the Lord, and how could God provide for you? You need to work. If you only attend the church, you never endeavor to find a good job, how could God provide money for you? However, one day, the sister experienced this miracle. She got a traffic ticket, and when she received that ticket, I mean, it was quite a big number, a fine amount. And she's afraid to ask her mom, and then she prayed. You know what happened? That same exact date, she received an email. A donation from someone, and with the exact amount of the fine. You know, many times our eyes are fixed upon the circumstance rather than the God who sits upon the throne. In Revelation, as you study the book of Revelation, you'll realize this. The earth is filled with disasters, filled with wars and shakings. But when Apostle John, his eyes were fixed upon the heavens, and then he began to see heaven is a place filled with worship, filled with victory and joy. And this is teaching us to not look at the challenges, the difficulties in our lives. We need to turn our eyes upon the God that sits upon the throne. And then we could start to praise. And then we could sing a new song and worship him. And then you'll receive peace in your spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 10. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. And it says that the Lord rescued us from our sins and trespasses, and that he has raised us up together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. What does it mean to lean upon our bridegroom? That means we are seated with him in that heavenly places. It's a lifestyle of living from that heavenly place. By you dwelling with Christ, then you'll begin to experience this exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. How do we access that? By trust, by faith, by leaning. And this is an abundance of grace that can access by faith. God said, I already give you this grace. It's in Christ Jesus. However, you need to begin to draw that strength. For example, you know, I could just be attacked by mosquitoes, bite by mosquitoes. But I can also draw grace from him and come into the realization that, wow, he has such an abundant grace for me. This exceedingly grace and his kindness has to be accessed by leaning on Christ. Think about this. Are we in our daily lives, have we draw this grace from him? In the little things of life, have we learned to lean upon him and to receive this great grace? But many times, I believe that we always think these little things are impossible. You know, just with a little cough or a little flu that we're experiencing. And if anyone have sickness, in the past, I would easily catch these sicknesses. But however, one year the Lord gave me this revelation. The revelation is that this flu, this sickness, is my enemy. I need to start to hate the sickness and to fight against it. So it was since 1990s. And many times I would recover from one cold, and then another brother got sick, and then he will pass the flu to me again. And so many, many times I would be coughing. But the Lord started to show me this, that I need to start be careful in this area and to war. And whenever I feel the little symptoms of the flu, running a little bit, runny nose here, a little cough here, a little fever here, then I would turn my attention to Jesus, and by praising him and proclaiming, Jesus, your blood cleanses me. I receive your life. I receive your healing. I rebuke this sickness to go. I plead your blood over my life. And I just kept declaring. I hold on to the promises, the salvation of God, the grace of God. I declare that his exceedingly riches of grace and salvation is towards us. And so I just kept holding on to these promises. And after that period of time, I rarely get sick anymore. 2 days ago, while we were at a home group having dinner together, and we were sitting in the backyard, and then I because we're sitting outside, I begin to feel a little bit chill. But when our time is done and I went back to the house, I started to feel a little bit sick. And by the time I got home, I realized that I had fever. You know, I'm testing my temperature, comparing to the person next to me. And then I know that I caught fever, and I start to praise the Lord. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. I rebuke this fever to go. I declare you're my life. You're my strength. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this bacteria to leave me. And when I'm feeling a little bit feverish, I already feel pretty weak, but I just continue to battle. And by the time I got home, I realized the fever was gone. And I said, hey, feel my temperature. The Lord has healed me. I want to challenge us to depend on our bridegroom. In my past, I've not esteemed my enemy, my foes. I've not learned to depend on the salvation, to access the salvation that God has prepared for me. Many Christians, they hear these teachings. They hear preachings. However, their lifestyle are completely different. When they get sick, they still lean on their own strength. You know, at the moment they hear the word, they're excited about the word, they're celebrating. But by the time they get home, whatever they're facing, they continue their own ways depending on their strength. They did not understand what it means to lean upon God. That means you need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Stop using your strength. Stop using your intellect or your studies in medical field and your, you know, it's good to have common sense. We don't want to be ignorant. However, but we want to be a people that depend on the Lord. Where have we failed
in leaning on God is that we only lean on God for a short period of time, and then we switch to our own human strength. We want God to release his full strength. We want God to do things more than just in a worship service, but in every difficulties, every challenge that happens in our lives. We want to come into understanding of God's power and to live in his grace and salvation. So when we face any type of circumstance, situations, we want to be seated with him in heavenly places. And whenever I'm riding on an airplane, I could look down from heaven to look at the earth. And maybe down there it's raining, but up here I'm receiving the sunshine. Raining is true, but we could go higher than the rain. That we could see the sunshine is shining over the clouds. That we need to learn to depend on the Spirit to soar. And we're not depending on our strength, but we're depending on the gift of God. That our hearts need to hide the commands of God. Our minds need to meditate and lean upon the Word of God. Pastor Sister Pearl Young, when she went back to Taiwan, the Lord gave her this phrase. He said, "If you believe, then I could do something. If you do not believe, then I can't do nothing." As a sister, when you go into a foreign land, the only thing you need to do is to continually believing that I can do it. Brother and sister, do you understand? God's works must come through our faith and our leaning. You know, remember when Jesus went to Nazareth because his family did not believe, so he couldn't perform miracles. They didn't believe it, so he didn't perform much. So what does it mean to be seated with Christ in heavenly places? The easiest explanation is that whenever you're facing challenges, we want you to praise God first. Don't give in to fear or anxiety. The first thing we ought to do is to praise. Praise God for this situation. Praise God for this person. And then begin to declare God's salvation. Declare the promises of God. Whenever you're facing any challenge, we ought to pray to the Lord and seek God's direction. Lean on him and not first to lean on your wisdom or people's help. Whatever we're facing, don't switch to your mind, but quickly turn to the Lord. Pray that, "Lord, please help me. You will help me, Lord." I encourage us that our reaction of facing difficult things ought to be praise, and not to look for help, look for people, but let's learn to lean on the Lord first. And when you do that, I guarantee you'll experience many, many miracles, many testimonies. You could depend on the Lord in everything. When I first moved to LA for about 2 months, I realized that our house had fleas. And one lady told me, "Pastor Grace, look, I was bitten here and there by fleas from your house. And then he charged me to buy this and that pesticides to clean my clothes and cleans." And then as I'm praying, I realized, oh, my feet started to itch. And then I'm trying to catch those little fleas. And if I caught one, there will be another one coming out. And at that time, I didn't have a car. And I don't know what to get to solve this problem. So all I know what to do is to pray. And I say, "Lord, this is your house. This is your holy temple. We cannot have fleas. Send your glory. Let your glory come to destroy all the fleas. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse your temple. Let your glory fill the temple." And that night that I was experiencing some flea problem, and I prayed, "Lord, protect me that I can sleep all the way to the morning without interruption." And so I lean on the Lord. And then the next morning when I woke up, I realized I was able yet again to sleep through the night. And then I continue to proclaim, "Lord, let your light shine and kill all the fleas." So I prayed for a total of 2 times, and God did something so wonderful because the fleas were completely gone. Do you understand that you can depend on the Lord in all things? You know, the intellect, they will think, "Oh, that's so funny. Why would you do that? You need to get medicine. You need to get pesticides. You need to do this. You need to do that." But if you depend on medication, what if one day you can't take those medications because you're pregnant? Or perhaps you have some problem, you can't take certain medications. What do you do? Dear beloved, let's learn to depend on the Lord whether it be looking for a job. Let me share this testimony of this couple. The husband is a chef, and he has this commitment that he will always observe Sundays. So he prayed that, God, give me a job that will not require for me to work on Sundays as a chef. But do you know that chef makes money from the weekends, especially Sundays? How could you not work on Sundays as a chef? That's impossible. But anyhow, that's his prayer. And then we all prayed for him. And I don't know how long we prayed, probably a couple of months. And God did something amazing yet again. God gave him a great job that he could take Sunday off. And the boss came in to substitute for him, even though Sunday is the busiest time. And also he was paid very well. And it's a very high-end restaurant as well. God has a way. But if we play by the world's rule, and the boss says, oh, you need to work on Sundays, then you submit to your circumstance, then you cannot experience God's provision. I realize, yet again, many people easily submit to their circumstance. They are led by their circumstances. They've not learned to lean on the Lord, to change or overcome the circumstances. Maybe your boss says this thing, oh, and then you would just agree. And the boss says, oh, you need to overtime, add more overtime hours than you agree to. But you never experienced the favor of God. And we ought to pray that, Jesus, you're my boss. Then Jesus will act for you. And I realize many in our church have experienced God's power. In winter conference and summer conference time, they've experienced supernatural favor. And many saints have the testimony that they were actually most busy during the summer and the winter time. Normally people will say, oh, that's impossible. That's the busiest season of the year. But what they don't know is that God has a way. They could depend on the Lord, and God can show you his power and salvation. Many years I was persecuted by my family. With your naked eye, I could pity myself but every time I will cry out to the Lord that, God, you will deliver me. God, you will lead me to every meeting. And many times my dad will be sitting at the gate. Every time I walk out from the gate, my dad is there, but he's the one who really persecutes me. But inside of my heart, I pray to the Lord, God, open up a way, let me go. So every time I go out, my dad would let me go. And so I want to encourage you, don't let go. Don't analyze the situation and say it's impossible and let go. Put the Lord first. Always put him first. Then you experience his mighty power. Lean upon him. Pray unto him. Believe in him. Stop giving up. Serving the Lord is the same principle. Many times we pray for people. There's some people that pray really hard, as though the harder they pray, the more the person will receive the Holy Spirit. But no, we ought to depend on the Lord. We ought to ask the Holy Spirit, how would you want me? Lord, how would you want me to serve? So Sister Pearl Young has this testimony. One time, a sister came to her and she said, Lord, I want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Please pray for me. And then they had some conversations. And then Sister Pearl Young prayed together with her. And so they knelt before the Lord, and then they prayed for a very, very long while. There was no actions at all. There was no sound. And Pearl Young said, I heard the voice of the enemy, the devil's voice, very loud. The devil's accusing me, saying, what are you going to do? The Holy Spirit's not moving right now. Come on, find some ways to help. The enemy is attacking her. And then she kept fighting against these voices so that she could enter into rest. And she kept thanking God and saying, God, I believe you. And then she continued to enter into deeper realm of worship. And she wasn't thinking of laying on hands and how much more things she could do. And so they waited again for a very long time because the Lord didn't want her to move or do anything. So they were just waiting on the Lord. After a long while, suddenly that sister began to spoke in tongues very quietly. And the sister said she received a very deep spiritual baptism by the Lord. She experienced God's abundance presence, and she starts speaking in tongues. This is called leaning on Jesus. Many times we see, oh, this person has not been knocked out by the Holy Spirit. I need to shake his head. I need to push his body a little bit. You know, you wish that you could do something to help the Lord. But you have to understand that you have nothing to offer to help people. The only way you could do is to be an empty vessel, a tender vessel, so that the Lord can move through you. When the Lord moves, it's only when we've decided to let go of our works, when we enter into that realm of rest and dependency on the Lord, then the Lord will begin to act. The more we strive, the more we were anxious, we're only hindering God to move. So I want to encourage those who serve the Lord. We must understand the same way with parents praying for your child. Perhaps your child is sick. If you're always nervous and always anxious, that only shows that you don't believe the Lord. You don't believe that God can work. Another testimony, Pearl Young, she brought two sisters to visit a sick patient. And that patient was very sick. That person couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. So Sister Pearl Young prayed with two other co-workers. They worshiped, they lay hands. They prayed, and as they continued to wait on the Lord, after a while, when the Lord commanded her, say, you can leave now, sister. And so they opened their eyes, and then they left the patient. However, at the time, the patient has no trace of improvement. There's no change. The situation, the circumstance was just as bad. But as they're leaving, and one of the co-worker told Sister Pearl Young, don't you feel like we're so weak and helpless? And Sister Pearl Young said, yes, exactly. I feel our prayers are unanswered. These are my true feelings. However, let's believe. Let's believe that the Lord has done something great. Let's continue to praise God for what he has done. And because that patient's parents aren't believers. And so when they represent Christ, these Sister Pearl Young went there. So they continue to praise God. And the next day, as they visit this patient again, they realize this patient it has great improvement. And then the following day, the patient was completely healed. So what God really requires us is that we will quietly believe. We want it to have an instant result. And many times if we don't have instant result, then we will sigh and we give into doubt and unbelief. What if the Sister Pearl Young will leave with a sadness without believing? I don't believe that the patient will be recovered, because without faith, you cannot please God. You want God's reward? You must believe. You must believe that God is, and he can do what he says he can do. He's everything. Then you will receive that reward. If we believe that, oh, the circumstance is not changed, the body's not healed, and then we begin to proclaim negative words, then our situation probably won't change. We must understand the spiritual principle, the ways of God, and begin to learn how to depend on the Lord. We don't want to give in to this, to live in spiritual poverty. We don't need to be prosperous in all things, but one thing we must be prosperous is in faith. Those who's prosperous in faith, you will be prosperous in every other areas in life. Beloved, I want to encourage you to treasure every opportunity to grow in this. Back in LA, when I was visiting a person, and every time I visit the person, I must visit him in his company, and it's a very busy place. So every time I go, I pray that the Lord will open up a way by the time that I visit him, the place will be quiet and not too many people will be there. So every time I visit him, and that person, it just so happened that the company will be so quiet and people will leave. And it doesn't just happen one or two times, but it happens every time. And then it provides us a quiet time to fellowship for a very long time. So this is so marvelous. I want to encourage you, every time you visit someone, depend on the Lord. Pray, ask God. I want you to experience His abundance, exceedingly abundant grace. Another testimony of me visiting a sister. I visited her home and I realized like they weren't at home at the time. And then I felt a little bit discouraged. I felt, Lord, I've prayed so many times, and then I felt it was You. How could they not be home? And I realized their in-laws were at home. So I first started out to chat with the in-law, and then I began to preach the gospel to her, and I led her to the Lord. And then we prayed together. And God's presence came so strongly, and we just kept worshiping the Lord, drawing near to the Lord. And by the time we opened our eyes, and the in-law told me, "Have you felt the presence of God?" I say, "Of course, He's right here." And not too long after that, Nanda's sister came back home. And I was so thankful. I realized the Lord has provided it. If the sister would have been at home, I probably wouldn't have a chance to preach the gospel to the in-law, because the in-law is very hardened against the Christians. So God provided this circumstance and situation. God is a wonderful God. And also, I realized the in-law the sister are fighting a lot. So I was able to counsel them as well. God's works is great. The only way we could access this grace is by depending on the Lord. Don't think, oh, I could visit whoever I want or pray for whoever I want. No, ask the Lord first. And it's not that the more you invite people, the more you call people, then the more God will work. It's not about that. We must depend on the Lord. We must bring these things to the Lord in prayer first and ask the Lord to save them, ask the Lord to grant them hunger and mercy. This is called depending on God. Then pray that God, as I call them, please touch their heart and soften their spirit so they may come to church. Then you realize you begin to serve them their spiritual needs. I want to encourage you to depend on the Lord. Financial needs are the same thing.
Pastor Mueller said this as well. May my life testify that Jesus is all that I need. And on a regular basis, He has to support thousands of orphans. People ask Mueller, "Oh, do you have any financial needs that I can provide for you?" Mueller said, "I never tell anyone my needs. I only tell the Lord." People kept on pressing him, "Come on, tell me right now so I can write a check to you." But Mueller was an insistent of not telling any needs to human. And to Mueller, all he needs is to tell God his needs. He wouldn't even tell people. This is the secret for us to tell all of our problems, all of our needs to the Lord. When you tell the Lord, it's more helpful, much more helpful than what people may give you. So this is what it means to lean on the Beloved. And you have to understand that this God, this Beloved, is not very frugal. Is not a person that doesn't give you the best. Brothers and sisters, we really have to learn this lesson of trust. People can fast, people can pray, people can worship. However, inside of their lives, they don't have this true trust. And people can pray, but in their hearts, they don't really believe that the Lord can do. This is not trusting. People can even listen to preaching, can buy all the CDs, all the tapes. However, in their daily lives, if you don't trust Him, you don't depend on Him on the little things, all the preaching are still remaining in your brain. It has not become part of you, and you cannot grow up to be in the stature of Christ. Jesus gave us the best example by living on earth. Jesus said that if I have not seen the Father do these things, if I have not heard the Father say anything, then I will not do those things. I wouldn't say those things. Whatever I do, whatever you see me doing, speaking, you see the Father doing, you see the Father speaking.
His life is an example of trusting. And his life is a model for us to follow after his example. Parents, can your children see your example of trusting the Lord? Are you a person that knows how to depend on the Lord? Whenever you face, whatever you face, whatever comes your way, you always turn in prayer. Is that the example that your children can see? It doesn't matter how many stories you could tell your children, how many Bible stories you read to them. It's about their example. Can they tell that you have that faith? Can they tell that you have a rest inside, no matter what's happening? Then they will also learn how to depend on the Lord by your example. There was another sister in LA. She told me this testimony. Even though her child is only two. And that little kid constantly reminds the mom, perhaps mom bump into something or face any type of trouble. The little child would tell the mom, pray, pray, mom, pray. And the reason why the child would do that is because the mom lived out that example. You know, perhaps you fall, and then you can lay hands on yourself and plead the blood of Jesus and ask God to heal you. This is important. Even in driving, it's the same. You pray, Lord, you are with me. Let the blood of Jesus cover everyone in the car. Go with us. Everything you do, let us learn to trust the Lord. Then suddenly you realize you are connected to the life source. He becomes your help in all things. I exhort all of us to trust the Lord in all things so that the power of God can be fully manifested through our lives so that we could truly be the John 15 example that he is the vine, we are the branch. That apart from him, we could do nothing. Let's not become those Christians that could do lots of things. But the more we pursue the Lord, let us be more dependent. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. Without him, we are nothing. That sister from LA, and she said when one time she was upset because her children weren't behaving, and she knew that she lost the peace of God within, and the child is crying, and she's heading to a meeting, and she's about to share in a Bible study. So she quickly repented to the Lord, and then she started to praise the Lord again. And then the child came next to her and then held her hand, and kept gazing on the mom's eyes. And mom says, "You need to repent. You need to say sorry." And then the kid said, "I'm sorry, Mom. I wasn't behaving." And so they hug each other, and then they felt the peace of God. And then she told Pastor Grace, "It's like the more I pursue God, the more I can't depend on my own flesh. I cannot bear the gap between me and God." And so the same example was caught by her child. Her child learned that. And then the child also developed that intimate relationship with the Lord. We want to learn from this example. Quickly repent from the Lord. Whenever we feel like we're operating in ourself and our flesh, we have to come to that place of complete dependency on the Lord. Whenever we left God's presence, we must feel that need and desperation to return to him. So I bless you guys to walk, to continue to learn, to trust the Lord, to enjoy his full abundance grace. In Jesus' name, amen.